you are. I gotta be where you are. I wanna be where you are. Come on, press, press, press. Where you are. I wanna be where you are. Gotta be where you are. I wanna be where you are. I gotta be where you are. I wanna be where you are. I gotta be where you are. I wanna be where you are. Gotta be where you are. Gotta be where you are. Gotta be where you are. For your glory.
I will do anything, whatever it takes, just to see you. To behold
you as my king,
I want to be
where you are. Peace is where you are. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. How many of you know you want to be where he is? Where he is, regardless of where you are, because if you go to where he is, you're going to be all right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning, brothers and sisters of the Safe House Church. Hi, my name is Dr. Peter Ely, and I serve in the capacity of the pastor of the Safe House Church here in the beautiful, what we call the Gate City of Greensboro, North Carolina, but coming to you live and virtual, Facebook Live. We said we on Zoom, we on YouTube, we on Periscope, we on all many different platforms all across the world, but we are just grateful to have and be able to spend this time with you all this morning. If this is your first time visiting with us, I ask that you come back and you visit again. We're here every Sunday morning at 9 a.m., and that is sharp, and that is also Eastern Standard Time. I know, I understand we have some over in Central Time that's gotten up this morning to be with us, and I'm just so grateful for that. Sister Sherelle, we love you, and we just praise God for you and the many of those who have started to join. And you know, this thing is, you know, it's not a monument, but it's a movement where God is taking us. That, you know, I believe that God's power is everywhere, and it's not limited to where I am in this particular locale, even though I would love to have everybody here with me. But nonetheless, God's power goes over the airways, amen, and his glory, you know, it just works, amen. And I'm just so grateful to all of those who may be visiting with us. As you get an opportunity to go by our website here at the Safe House Church, GSO.com, you can find more information about us. You'll find that we're just a people who are just a simple people, but we just love God, and we just praise him, and we give his name all the honor and all the glory, for it does not belong to us, but it belongs to him. And I'm just grateful to be in this space, because I could be somewhere else, but I'm here with you. We work on three principles here at the Safe House Church that you hear us go over and over again. Discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. Discipleship in that we're going to teach you the word of God, and we're going to walk with you through the word of God. And inside of that capacity, and with that first one, we work within our framework. The framework is how we build and how we function here at the Safe House Church. So you'll make no mistake about it. What we're doing is built off a, not that it's systematic, but it's based off the word of God and where God has us to go. And our framework is simply this, that we teach content. We give you the content. The content is what? The content is God's Bible. It's the infallible word of God. We believe that the Bible, you know, tells us what we can do, and it tells us what we can't do. Amen. And then we also would give you the context. So we use other pieces of text. You know, I'm a scholar. You know, I've been a scholar. I'm a man of God first, but I'm also a scholar. And in that space, we're able to go back and research and bring things in to bring context to that which we're talking about, that which we may be preaching about. And then we leave the last part, we leave it up to the Spirit. What? Because the Spirit gives the revelation. I can't give you revelation. Amen. You know, I can give you what God has given me through the Spirit that he has in me, and that may inspire you to go read your Bible, and that God will give you more. So I encourage each and every person, read your own Bible. Amen. You know, because in this day and time, we have Google, and we have all these different resources to help us to be able to understand God's word. And here I am is just what? To inspire you, to spark you, to get you to the point that you want to read it for yourself. Amen. And then what? We come together and then we chew on that thing. You know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. So what that means is that, you know, you come to the table with something too. Amen. You know, I've been known to be error. I'm not a perfect man. You're not perfect, but we walk in this together. The Bible said we walk towards perfection. Amen. So as we walk in this walk towards perfection, we're going more and more each and every day getting better. But God is giving all of you gifts and talents. Amen. So then the next part of that is empowerment. And that's what I want to lead to with the empowerment is that we empower you to use your gifts and talents. We have some new ministries that we're working on right now. We're getting some things together, getting some equipment together. I'm looking forward to what God is doing with the Safe House Church here in the new year. And I hope that you're planning to be a part of that. Amen. But we empower individuals. So if God's giving you teaching ministry, if God's giving you things, and, you know, everybody's not to be up here where I'm at. You know, some people have some ministries, some other places. I believe in marketplace ministry. Your most effective place is right there with you being on Facebook. One of your most effective places is right there. You being on YouTube and all these different places. I know the problem is that some of us are ashamed of some of the things that we've posted and we don't use that space in that capacity. Amen. But what? We're not a Christian just on Sunday morning, but we live this thing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that I just don't turn off my Christian hat because I get mad or I get upset, because we all go through these things. We all work in this space, but nonetheless, what God said, what? Be angry, but sin not. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm already preaching, but I ain't mean to do that to you. Amen. But nonetheless, the last part of this is accountability. Accountability for some is a curse word these days, in that we believe that we are to be held accountable. I'm held accountable to God's people. You all hold me accountable. I hold you all accountable. Why? Because in this space that I am my brother's keeper. Yes, I am. And as we work in this space together, we hold each other accountable. Why? Because I don't want to go through all of this and you get to heaven and I miss the trip. Oh, come on, somebody. But we ask that we hold each other accountable. And there's a way that we do this in love. Amen. That what? I know, you know, it's just like that little kid. When you catch him sometimes, you know, it's best to go ahead and confess. Hey, you know what? I screwed up. But you know what? God is not short where his hand can't say, because we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and he's pulled us back up. Amen. So I'm just so grateful. Good morning to all. I call them my member leaders of the Safe House Church. I'm just so grateful to have all of you all here with us on this morning, for God is good and he's worthy to be praised. You know, we had set up to do a, just want to give you a quick update. I know we were setting up to do a giveaway, a hat, scarf, and gloves giveaway. And lo and behold, actually all the stuff got here. Amen. So I have all this stuff stacked up in my garage. Amen. And we're going to still do the giveaway. We couldn't get it done this week. And I know, you know, Sister Ely is going to be gone. I mean, Sister Lee is going to be gone. So we're planning to get this done maybe the first Saturday in January. But we want to be able to bless the city of Greensboro. Those who want to come out, ask that you come on out and bless, and be with us. But we're going to bless the city of Greensboro. Amen. And we want to give out hats. We're giving out hats. We're giving out gloves. We're giving out socks. And we're also giving out, oh, yeah, our face mask. How about that? How nice is that? So by now, hopefully those who have been members of the Safe House Church, those who support us, we sent you this Delight 265. I want for you to remind it. Somebody's going to ask you, what is that Delight 265? And you tell them that the word delight is found in the scripture 265 times. So it's 265 times that God has told us to take it easy, rest inside of me. And you know what? I got you. If you do what I asked you to do, I'm obligated to do what I said I'm going to do. Let me say that again. If you do what I asked you to do, I'm obligated to do what I said I'm going to do. So if you haven't gotten this yet, I promise you it's already in the mail. I dropped off a couple of others the other day. Also has the church website on it, safehousechurchgso.com. And then the nice Safe House Church logo on this side. Very nice mask, y'all. Just, you know, I just feel like I look like a Ninja Turtle when I'm walking around the mall and all these places with these things on. But nonetheless, if we're going to do it, I'm like, I'm going to spread the gospel however I can. Amen. You know, don't go with my outfit today, but nonetheless, I always tell people and remind you all that the purple, I know that's why we go with purple. Purple stands for what? His royalty. Purple, you know, is a very expensive color to get in biblical times. Why? Because they took these shells and these shells were very expensive. And basically they were shellfish, and they would crush the shellfish, and the shellfish would give off this color. It seemed like it would be a dye. And it took many of them to be able to get it. So therefore, what? On the purple was worn by what? Royalty. And we serve a king, and we are king's kids. So this is just a reminder. Purple because you are royalty. Now, why the white? The white just to remind you also that what? It's I surrender. You know, the universal sign all across the world for surrender is what? The white sign. So, yes, I surrender to the King. Amen. So if anybody asks you, hey, delight 265, because we delight in ourselves in the Lord, and we are embracing all 265 instances of that. But it's also purple. Why? Because the royalty of God, and our colors are white because what? We surrender all to Him. Amen. So that's my introduction to the Safe House Church. I want to get straight on into business on this morning. I believe God has given me a mighty and a powerful word on this morning. As I was reading, you all, I know I keep plugging this, but y'all know, since I don't do this often, that this thing has really been powerful. I want y'all get this book, Undetected, More Than a Status by Shantae Spring. Like I told you, I happen to know this young lady, and I bought it. I support. In particular, I love to support Black business. I mean, I believe in supporting Black business. But nonetheless, y'all, I cannot put this thing down. I'm almost done, but this thing has really been turning. I mean, the voice that she speaks in and the way she writes is plain, simple, but I think this will resonate with a lot of you. Maybe you're not HIV positive, and I pray and I hope that you're not, but there's other things in your life, and she speaks to those things, especially to my women, and how God just, you know, He's just been circling around. This has been powerful. You know, even some of what I'm going to talk to you today, y'all can probably already kind of get that I got some of that out of this. God, I was reading this, and God quickened my heart and said, that's what I want you to speak on today. So that's where I'm going today. So I ask that you all, you can find it on Amazon, Undetected, More Than a Status. And at some point in time, I'm going to get her on our telecast, and we're going to spend some time with her. Also, in the next week or so, we may have a guest speaker here. Amen. In-studio guest speaker. So, yeah, I'm going to have the social distance inside of here. I want to make sure we follow in all the rules. But I'm looking forward to having here. We can work out everything. The Elder Tyson from Kansas, Wichita, Kansas, will more likely be with us. So we've been in talks, and he's coming into town, and I'm looking forward to having him here on a Sunday morning to worship and share with us. Amen. So just so grateful for that space. All right. So if all hearts and minds are clear, I want to go right into what I believe God has given me to speak with you on today. As some of you already seen the message, those who are on Facebook and all the other social media platforms, you already know. But those who are on Zoom, you don't see the title of my message today. So you'll get it here in a moment. If you'll be so kind, would you turn with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter number 5. 2 Kings chapter number 5. If you've not gotten the opportunity to do so already, I ask that you go ahead and hit the share button. Share this with somebody else. Go to our page on Facebook. Like this page. Why we ask you to do these things? Why? Because it helps in the algorithm of how they share this stuff. And when they share this stuff, they share it based off algorithms. So the more and more people are liking a thing, the more and more that it will come up. So I ask that you all share that. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Also wanted to show you real quickly before we switch over here that if you've not got an opportunity, go out to our podcast. You can go get all these messages on podcast, so you can go back and you can listen to them. Right now, we're on the live podcast as we speak, so we do several different recordings simultaneously here at the Safe House Church, where we believe that we want to reach out to as many as possible. And I don't know if you can see this real quick, but yeah, let me slide that over. You see, that's 30,000. That's 30,000 people who've gotten to hear the gospel. 30,000 people through this platform that's heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you all, I've been all around the world, not just here. Because God has what? He has people everywhere. He says, some sheep I don't have of this fold. You know, some believe that he's saying, you know, he's speaking to another world, but he may just be speaking to another country. I do not know. But nonetheless, my job is what? To prolificate the word of God all around the world as best we can. So 30,000 and going strong. Amen. And 716 episodes. Now, if you can't find something to listen to in 716 episodes while you walk in the dog, while you don't, you know, sometimes I know some say, well, I need my daily devotion. Well, look no further. Go in there, get your iPhone. You can go to your iPhone and click on the little purple man, the little podcast icon, and put in a 10-minute Bible study. 10-10, that's what it originally was, and I just don't want to go in there and change it because it's been doing so well. But if you put in this 10-minute Bible study and prayer, you'll see that this little Bible study logo here on the left with the brown, with the coffee, will pop up, and you're able to go out there and started to download that. It's in Google Play. It's on all the different platforms. It's been out there for many, a couple of years now, maybe five, six. No, I think we're going on 5 years now. And it's absolutely free. Absolutely free. So we do not charge for that. You know, the Word of God. Don't charge for the Word of God. Just sometimes, you know, his higher end do need what they, you know, they have to have to be able to do what they need to do. Because the Word of God is free, but for us to put it out is not. So this is a podcast that I've sponsored for a number of years. But if you get an opportunity, go out. And like I said, you will not find one rerun. Not one. I never, ever have talked about the same thing twice. And you just keep scrolling. I mean, you'll find many, 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 many. You can just hit download here. And like I said, feel free, subscribe. This helps us on this channel also to what? To get up to the higher level. And by getting up to the higher level, what this does is it allows more people to see it. Amen. So just go out there, like, share, whatever the case may do on podcast, on Apple, iTunes, whatever the case may be. All right. All right. Let's go right into the Word of God. First, so we got 2 Kings 5:5. All right, let me get my bearings here. Y'all know I'm running two computers at the same time. We're running a podcast here at the same time, and all the microphones and lights and cameras. I'm just grateful that God has made me to be able to do multitask. This is a true multitask. Amen. All right, and here we go. And it says this. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and he took with them 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold exchanged for the remnant. I'm okay. Uh-oh, where's my mouse? Okay. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man do send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. And now Abner and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel, may I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do something great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then will he say to thee, wash and be clean? Then he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the sayings of the man of God, and his flesh came again unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he was clean. And he was clean. Oh, Lord, and Father, Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. Lord, I just want to say I thank you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning. Lord, I thank you for starting us our right mind. I thank you for the activity of our limbs. Lord, I said you bless someone, Lord Jesus. Bless, Lord Jesus, those who hear this word on this morning, Lord Jesus, that they might be hearers of the word, Lord Jesus, and now become doers of the word through you, Lord Jesus. And now, Lord, I give your name all the honor and all the glory. Speak through me, Lord. Have your way with me on today, Lord Jesus, that we say what it is that you have us to say and be quiet on the things that you want us to be quiet, Lord. Allow your anointing that destroys the yoke and set the captive free to be in this place on this day, Lord. You let my words be anointed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if I was going to use for a subject today, undiagnosed. 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 When you, oh, sorry about that. Undiagnosed, undiagnosed. Let me get these things back up here. Oh, they jumbled up. Okay. Undiagnosed, a secret killer. Undiagnosed, a secret killer. How many of you know that you walk around with a lot of things? And we find ourselves in a lot of places and a lot of situations and a lot of circumstances. And we just walk around with so many different things. Amen. That we find ourselves in a place of undiagnosis. So let me go back here a little bit and recap this scripture before I get to where I believe God is having us to go today. So here in this particular scripture, what we find is that we have in this particular scripture that we have our person here, Naaman. Naaman, if you find out and you go back and you look at Naaman, you find that what Naaman is. Naaman is a warrior. Naaman runs the Syrian army. Naaman is a good man, and Naaman has now come down with leprosy. He's come down with leprosy. If you know anything about leprosy, leprosy is a disease that attacks the nerves and the skin in particular. It actually attacks the nerve endings, and when it attacks the nerve endings, what it does is deaden the nerves, and it's highly contagious. You know, I think about it now, we'll be in the time of a pandemic that we are now, what, we are walking around, we're wearing masks. Why? Because we know now that the coronavirus is being spread through the air, through air droplets. Well, I found it odd enough that leprosy, oh, come on, somebody, that leprosy, when you go back and you do your research, and I encourage you to Google it, you'll find that leprosy is spread the same exact way. Right now, it's a rare disease. We've pretty much eradicated it, amen. And now they know how to treat it because it's a bacterial infection. But in biblical times, you know, we didn't have the advances of modern medicine that we know now, or penicillin and these kind of things that you can take to take care of bacteria and all kinds of situations now that we've learned and God has allowed us to get over the years. But at this particular point in time, though, if you got leprosy, what they did is that they sent you to the outskirts of the city. They quarantined you, so to speak. You were sent out. In fact, you had to identify yourself as what almost like a scarlet letter that this person was a leopard and people didn't want to get near you or close to you. Why? Because they did not want to catch that which you had. Because at that particular point in time, they did not understand nor know how things were passed. And at that particular point in time, no, they didn't know how leprosy was being moved. All they know is that people who were around people who had it ended up with it. And what they did is now, so they took the best of their knowledge, they took the best of their information that they had and decided that, okay, it's best for us to move you to another place. It's best for us to move you to another circle. It's best for us to put you on the outsides of the city. Why? Because that which you're dealing with, we can see. That which you're dealing with, we all can see. So now what? So now the king and his effort to help his man, he understands that what? That the power of God relies in Israel. Hear me well, brothers and sisters. People know that you serve God. People know that God lives inside of you. So do not count it strange when they come up to ask you for prayer. Do not count it strange when they come out and ask you to do things that you say, well, why would they ask me to do this? Well, people know you cannot hide. When you have God inside of you, when God is living inside of you, when His Holy Ghost inside of you, that you have a glow, you have a look that you just cannot hide, that people know that where the true God lies. So He sends what? Naaman to where? To Israel. And we get to Israel, here there is the king does not know how to interact with him. Because the king is thinking, number one, are you crazy that you send pestilence to my land? You send somebody that you is a known leper to me. So what, do you want me to get mad with you? So the Bible talks to him that way. He got to the point that he was about to quarrel with him in the sense that, and what does he do? As if the king is enraged. The king does not know what to do. I'm here today and I'm here to speak to somebody today that God has you in a place that you have the king's ear. Somebody's listening. You have a supervisor who listens to you because God is giving you divine appointment. God is giving you divine favor with them. I ask that you do not take that for advantage, but that what you use it to what God is giving you, the ability that God is giving you to be able to help people, to advance people forward. That is not about you, but you are in a place that he's going to use you, and in due season, he's going to raise you up. Oh, come on, somebody. That was prophetic to someone right there, that someone needed to hear that someone knows that you're in a place that if you will hold your peace, that God is going to fight your battles. So what he has a person here who can have his ear. And now the king doesn't know what to do. The king finds himself in a place that he's upset and he's distraught. And he's like, well, why would you bring this leopard here? And now I have to deal with him. And I don't want your money. Do you not know that right now you cannot take people's money? Because if I know you have the rights and you're going to bring it to my house, your money's no good with me. Your money does not work here. Why? Because now I'm dealing with something I don't know how to deal with. I'm dealing with something that I can't cure. I'm dealing with something that it's going to have to take divine intervention to take care of. So even though he gave him 10 talents, 10 talents at that time, that was a good amount of money. That was a lot of money. So that told me that the king cared much for Naaman, but he sends him to another city. He sends him to the city of power. He sends him to the city of healing. He sends him to the city of refuge. How many of you know there is a balm in Gilead? There is healing power within and then the people of God, that God is put inside of us through his delegated authority. Do y'all not know that God power flows through us? He uses you and I to walk around, and people's lives are changed because you and I exist, that people's lives and their atmosphere change because you and I are in the space, we're in the atmosphere. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me this morning? So what does the Naaman do? So Naaman, this time he's sitting there, he's probably distraught, doesn't know what to do, that now the king has rejected him. And there's a man of God, there's a prophet in the house that says, hey, send them over to me. So he sends him over to Elisha. Who is Elisha? Elisha is the protege of Elijah. Remember, Elisha found himself working in the fields, and he was waiting for his change to come, but he was still occupying himself until his change came. And what Elisha was doing, he was plowing, and it was Elijah that was walking down, and he was looking for somebody because he knew his time was short. He knew it wasn't much longer here. And what did Elisha say? I will come with you, but I want to do double what you've done. I want greater works than what you've done. And therefore, he takes on Elisha as a protege, and Elisha walks around and sees him do all these things, and he tells him, if you see me when I go up, I will drop my mantle down on you. And what does Elisha do? He's there when Elijah gets called up in the fire chariots, and he drops down that mantle, and that mantle now falls upon Elisha, and Elisha goes in and he smites the water, and the water part that gives the people sign that God is now with Elisha. So now we find this is that same Elisha. Now he's working in what God is giving him. He's working in the season that God has given him to go for. So now Elisha's there doing this work, and as Elisha's there doing this work, what we find is that now he's listening, and he tells him to come over. Now notice what he tells him to do. He comes over, and when he comes over, there is Naaman gets there. Naaman has a thought pattern. Naaman has a way that he expects things to be done. Do y'all not know that the world has a way that they expect things to be done, that we as believers have a way that we expect things to be done, but sometimes God don't do things the way that we expect them to do it. You know, I've been praying, I've been asking God, say, God, bless our ministry, grow our ministry. And you know what? God has been growing us through a pandemic. You know, I'm here, blessing people that God has sent to us, and doing what we can to pastor people from all around the world, and God just continued to send them to me. I'm like, but Lord, how do we do this online? Some of us, we're to the point, say, well, we like to go to church and we like to be in the building, maybe God, you're doing something different, and I continue to remind myself that, I started in this space before I went to the physical space. Oh, come on, somebody. So now, I don't think it was strange that God had me in this space. That's why I'm very comfortable doing this. I'm very comfortable talking with nobody in front of me. I'm very comfortable talking to the cameras. Why? Because he started training me for this before it even came. Are y'all with me this morning? That I was doing this years before what? This time even came, so that I could be able to speak boldly before to you in the word of God, that I'll be able to speak comfortably to you in the word of God, that I'll be able to have the equipment and all the things that God already needs for us. He already knew that this day was coming. So what does he do? He has Elisha planted inside of the home, and here comes Naaman, and Naaman shows up and he says, okay. And then what does the man of God do? The man of God gives him instruction. He said, if you wanted to be healed, this is what you do. You go dip yourself in the River Jordan 7 times and you will be healed. Well, in good fashion, what does Naaman do? Naaman says, why wouldn't you come out and address me? Well, Naaman must have forgot that Naaman has what? AKA, he has the leprosy. Amen. And the leprosy at this point in time, what? They didn't know how it was spread, but I'm starting to think that the man of God knew how it was spread. And therefore, the man of God was able to what? To social distance himself. Oh, come on, somebody. See, it was social distancing before you knew there was social distancing. He social distanced himself. And what is he spoke the word and he gave the instruction. This is my word to you on today, that you don't have to be here in the physical house with us. But if you can connect and you can take the instruction, that you can be healed right where you are, that you can be diagnosed right where you are, that you your life can be changed right where you are. You can be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost right where you are. You can be baptized right there in your home as I give you the instruction right where you are. Woo! Come on, somebody. See, it's us as people that made this thing, because what? It didn't happen the way that we thought it should happen. We didn't do it the way that we thought we should do it. But what? But God has brought all this thing, and he's sitting here, and he's giving what? A word to the man. He's giving him a word, and he's telling him what to do. And what does the man do? He gets the straw. Many of you, if I told you right now that you were sick in your home right now, if I told you to go get your anointing or anoint your head and pray right now, and we would pray and touch and agree together, some of you don't even believe you would do it because you want me to lay my hands on you. So what the Bible said, to lay on our hands. But I'm showing you right here in the word of God where the man of God gave the instruction and somebody was healed and he never laid his hand on him. What did he do? He said, go and follow and jump in the River Jordan and dip 7 times. So the man of God is giving you that. It's by your faith that these things are activated. It ain't about me laying my hands on you. All I'm doing is touching and agreeing with you. All I'm doing is what, you know, touching your faith with my faith. But at the end of the day, if you do not believe in that 66 book canon, if you do not believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, if you don't believe in his anointing that destroys the yoke and set the captive free, if you don't believe in Jehovah Jireh that he's my provider, if you don't believe in Jehovah Nissi that he fights my battles, if you don't believe in Jehovah Sikkadu that God is almighty, if you don't believe in the rose of Sharon, if you don't believe in that he's the lily of the valley and the bright and morning star, there's nothing I can do for you, because I'm just a man. I'm just a man where that's given power and endowed from on high, just like you are. The same Holy Ghost I got, you got. The same power I got, you got. It's just, do you exercise it? Do you read the instruction manual on how to use it? So what does he do? He gives them instruction. And here now, here's Naaman. Now, the thing is of Naaman, Naaman, a man who is what? A military man, a man who does things in order, a man who takes orders and do things well, that what? This whole thing got him messed up. This whole thing got him messed up. So the first thing he does is what? He walks away from it. Ah, this is nonsense. You send me all the way over here, and this guy just tells me to go over here and go jump in the River Jordan. And not only jump in the River Jordan, what is the Jordan River? Well, let me give you a little bit of context and background about the Jordan River. The Jordan River is probably one of the nastiest rivers you're ever going to see. You're not going to walk in there and it's going to be dirty. It is filthy dirty. It's soot and stuff everywhere. I bet the crocodiles, flies, you name it. The animal dung is in there. The animals go in there and they do their thing and then they drink it and all kinds. It is filthy. And you notice what he said. He talks about the other. He talks about the Abba River and the Farrar River. Why? Because these rivers are much, much cleaner. See, sometimes we want to do things the way that God wants to do it. God said, yo, go get on the internet. And you said, nope, God, I want to go to that place down the street. Oh, come on, somebody. God said, go get on your knees right here in your home. And then you said, oh, no, God, but I want somebody to go lay hands on me here. It's by your faith that these things are changed. So let's talk about it. What? Maybe you are walking away around with some undiagnosed things. Oh, come on, somebody. That you and I, what? One of the things about something that's undiagnosed, that you and I, that's the truth of the matter is that I have something in my body that's going to kill me if I live long enough without any accident or any untimely death by accident. The truth of the matter is you have something in your body that's going to kill you. It's lying there. Some of us is active already, and we already know what it is, and we're learning to deal with it. Some of us is not active, and we don't know what it is. But if we live long enough, it's going to come. Do you not know something that's undiagnosed is a secret killer? And I'm here to tell you today that what? You and I, and we all are dealing with some what? Secret killers in our life. We all have some things that are undiagnosed in our life. And the first thing I want to pull out to you for those who are taking notes today is pride. P-R-I-D-E, pride. What do we find here? We find that pride of Naaman almost derails his healing. We find that the pride of Naaman almost what derails what God wanted to do in his life. How many times God has told us to do something and we said, Lord, I'm not going to do that because they're going to think I'm crazy. Lord, I'm not going to say that because they're going to think something's wrong with me. Lord, I'm not going to go there, Lord, because that looks off when you know God is quickening you to do it. God, I ain't going to go over there and tell them that. I'm not going to go over there and tell her that. Why? Because God, you're warned inside of yourself. Mm-hmm. You're worn inside of yourself. And you know what? It's killing you. Why? Because disobedience, the pride. So Naaman's pride was not going to allow him to get in that dirty water. His pride was not going to allow him to go. And what did they do? It's funny or it's odd enough, the servants that were with him, what did they do? They asked him a question. You know what they did? They spoke to his pride. What did they do? The Bible said what? They asked, they said, Naaman, I'm paraphrasing. He said, Naaman, if not, this was a king order, or he came from the king, would you not have just listened to what the king said and just did it because it was an order? And Naaman thought about that thing. See, sometimes people don't listen to us because they don't see kingship on us. Some of that's our own fault. Some of it's their fault. What I ask you to do today is make sure it's not your fault. Make sure you're walking in faith. Make sure you're walking in integrity. Making sure that you're walking before, you know, God as best you can. Why? Because you don't want your witness to be diminished because of things that you've done, things that you've said, places you found yourself that you shouldn't have been. So Naaman, what? It speaks to Naaman's second part. That second undiagnosed killer inside of Naaman, which is what? Disobedience. For the Bible says what? Obedience is better than sacrifice. I believe that the Bible says this, and this is Peter. I don't have a distinct scripture for that, but this is what Peter believes, is that I believe that he says obedience is better than sacrifice because if you're obedient, it may not require a sacrifice. Now, I ain't going to say I tell you I got Bible for that, but that's revelation God has given me. So you take it for whatever it's worth to you. But if you'll be obedient, it may not require a sacrifice. So I believe you sacrifice because you've been disobedient. Because the Bible said what? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So if you're being disobedient, disobedient is what? Walking in sin. Mm-hmm. So how do you atone for sin? Something has to die. Right? So if something has to die then, and you don't want to die, what is that called? A sacrifice. So if something has to die, something has to die. For you and I, that was Jesus, and he died the most horrific death, was so that you and I can continually come back to this tree of life, which is him, and ask for forgiveness. So it's nothing no great that you have done unless you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, and I very doubt very, very few people have done that, probably don't even know how to do it. Because even the Bible says, even a fool said there's no God, right? But he acknowledges the power. All right. So what is he? So now Naaman's what? Second thing. So first thing, your undiagnosed killer, your pride. How many of your pride has kept you from doing some things? Your pride. And you know, I even learned, even in my marriage, I've been married now, what, 18? Was it 18? Yeah, 18 years. Yeah, this is 20. 18 years. And sometimes I've learned I just got to shut up, even if I'm right. Right? Why? Because what? The pride keeps us. The pride is a prideful, you know, the pride before the fall. We don't do why? Because this person told me to do it. I don't do it because that person told me to do it. Or I feel it's going to do this and it's going to do that. Remind you, this is the man of God. They sent you here for healing. The man gave you some instructions. How dare. It's like you coming to my office and you asking me, Peter, can you show me how to do this? And I show you how to do it. And you say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. And you walk out. You wasted my time and yours too. Right? So how many times we do that? You come to church every single Sunday. You listen. You come in on Wednesday night. You come on Thursday night. And yet, what? You don't do anything the man of God said to do. I tell you, hey, it's in the book. If it's something contrary to the book, I get that. But if it's in the book and he tells you to do that, why? Undiagnosed killer. Pride. Disobedience. He's telling us some things to do. Why? You know, I think about it all the time with my, you know, my son. I have a little young son. Y'all know that. And he's always doing something. You know, they say that's just boys. But, you know, I'm trying to instill in him what a sense of discipline and a sense of obedience. Why? Because I know if he does what I tell him to do, I do more for him. He's my son. I want him to do everything. But you know what? Every time he sees me leaving, y'all know I'm a fisherman. That's what I do. That's one of my things I use to give away. And I ain't been in about 3 weeks, y'all. So y'all know I'm screaming to get out after this week. Work has been work. But I desire to take him. I want to take him right now. I think he's old enough to go right now. But you know what? He's not obedient enough to go right now. There's a difference. Some of you ask the Lord, why haven't I got this breakthrough? Lord, look where I'm at. Look what I've done, Lord. All these things are true. But you know what God is saying? You're not obedient enough for me to give it to you. Because what? I love you so much. I care for you so much that I'm not going to allow you to get something that's going to destroy you. I'm not going to allow you to have this. Why? Because if I allow you to have this right now, you're going to find yourself in a place that you ain't going to be able to get yourself out of. So sometimes you got to keep what? As the good father, oh, come on, somebody. As the good father, what he has to do is what? Keep us from ourselves. So me as the good father, yes, I can take my son when we done this afternoon. I'm done this morning, and I can change my clothes, and we can go down here. And we got 2 or 3 ponds in our neighborhood. And they got good. I ain't going to tell everybody what kind of fishing. Y'all be over here running my fish out. But anyway, I can just take them there. Get them fishing today. But you know what? I'm going to say, Preston, step away from the water, son. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to take 2 more steps closer. I'm going to say, Preston, get back from the water, son. And you know what? He might stick his foot in it. I'm going to say, Preston, get out of the water, son. You know what? He might actually drive because he thinks he can swim. See, some of us think that we can swim, and God is telling you, you're not ready yet. Woo! Y'all think I played that song this morning, Teach Me How to Wait? I'm talking to myself this morning. There's some things that I need to wait on too, y'all. And it's been tough. And I'm like, Lord, it's my season. Lord, it's my time. Lord, I've been doing this. Lord, I've been preparing. I've been this. And you know what? The answer keep coming back. Wait, I say on the Lord. Why? Because he knows what lies on the other end of that. See, I, as his father, know, regardless of what he think, he can't swim. He swim like my daddy used to say. He swim like a rock, which means what? You throw it in and it hits the bottom. Boom. And then I'm going to find myself trying to fetch my son out of a pond that Lord knows I don't ever want to do, nor I want to hear anybody else having to do that for their own child. Amen? So me being the good father, if he can't be obedient in the small things I ask him to do around the house, like Preston, don't be sliding down the stairs on your belly. Yeah, I got a 3-year-old. He goes down the steps, head first on his belly. And we got like several different kinds of stairs. If he can't listen to me now, if he can't listen to me then, how do I think I'm going to be able to take him somewhere where I cannot control the danger at all and he listen to me? I can't. So some of you are asking yourself, say, God, why have I not gotten this? Lord, why have I not gotten that? Lord, why ain't I gotten this kind of breakthrough? The answer is you ask yourself, have you been obedient? Do you follow his instructions? Do you do it the way he say do it? Mm-hmm. And somebody wrote in the chat, Sister Ava said, you got to do it God's way. That's right. You got to do it God's way. There's no other way around it. Or you cannot have what he said you can have. He said you can have it. This is what he said, what? Delight yourself in the way of the Lord, right? And if you delight yourself in the way of the Lord, you can have it, but you got to do it his way. Why? Because he knows what's behind that. So I take my son to the pond because he's begging me to go. Mm-hmm. Because I want to take him. I've been looking forward to that. I can't wait. I want to do it because I'm his father and I want to share this with him. This thing that my father shared with me, now I get to share with my son, and he has an opportunity because, you know, not like me, you know, I didn't have all these, I didn't have all the equipment and stuff that I had. You know, I had one pole, but his dad is into it. I can buy him anything he wants. He can get the best of the best. So if he really likes it, and who knows, if he wants to become a professional, I'm going to be there and I'm going to be his biggest cheerleader on the boat. My dad couldn't buy me a boat, but I can buy my a boat if he want one. All these things I want him to have, but I cannot let him have it until what? He learns to be obedient. Why? Because if he can't learn the small things, if he can't learn to stay away from the water now, he can't learn to say, boy, watch out for somebody to get hooked. Okay, if you got whoever got hooked with a fishing hook, boy, you know you've been hooked. Them things are sharp. You know, if you can't watch, I say, son, you know, watch, because I know that brown's a little soft over there, or it might be a snake or something, or something, anything. Because why? I'm his father, and I'm there to protect him, but I also want him to have the best I can give him. Am I making sense to anybody this morning? So some of you ask, why? Because you haven't been obedient. Why has Naaman not been healed yet? Because he hadn't been obedient. Amen. So then Naaman gets to the point of what is the Bible says do. So Naaman, after his servant speak to his pride, Naaman starts to go within himself. But why the Jordan River? Some of you asking, Lord, why am I in the place that I'm in? Why do I have the job that I have? Why did I marry to the family that I married? Yes, that was your choice. But even in that, God is what? He's working it out. Lord, why did things transpire the way that they transpired? Why do I find myself in this place? You have all these questions of why? And what does Naaman do? Naaman asks all these questions because he's thinking with his human brain. He's thinking with his human intellect. He's thinking, well, if this happens and that happens and this goes this way and that goes that way, then it certainly ain't right. Stop trying to make it logical. If you not notice, the Bible says what? That his thoughts are not our thoughts. You trying to think like him? Never going to work. Why? Because his mind is not limited to the capacity of this body. The most I can do is in this body right now until I get my new one. The most you can do is in that body until you get your new one. So what? We are to what? Walk and work within that ramification of what he's given us. And then what? The Spirit speaks to us. This is why I keep telling you all the way. Revelation comes from God. This is why you got to spend time with him. I cannot do that for you. Sunday mornings is not enough. This is why I showed you the podcast. It's not enough. Do you eat one time a week? I can look at some of you and tell you don't eat one time a week. You can look at me and tell I don't eat one time a week. But yeah, you only want to feed your soul one time a week. You only want to feed your soul on Sunday mornings. Oh, I'm being a pastor today. It is what it is. This is what God's called me to do. So I have to eat daily. I eat a couple of times a day. They say you should eat 6 small meals a day. I don't typically do that, but that's what they say. How many other meals are you getting? Or are you starving yourself from week to week? And that's why you're weak. Oh, come on. Are you starving yourself from week to week? Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying you gotta be here. If you're a member of Safe House Church, you know we have resources. I want you here. But if it's anywhere, if you're just visiting today, you cannot just keep doing that. Why? Because it makes you weak. We all are vulnerable to this world. I am too. That's why I have to pray. I have to fast. I have to study. I have to be before God. And then on top of that, I have to come back and minister to you too. So I have to do my own ministry to myself before I even get to that. You know, I can spend 8, 9, 10 hours reading the word of God, trying to get a message or whatever God is going to give me. And I give to you in 30 minutes. It took me 6 hours to get. It took me all week to get. Most of the time, it's all week. Sometimes it's early, but most of the time, God give me what he want to talk about Wednesday. Between Wednesday and Thursday, sometimes I get panicky. It'd be like Friday night. I'm like, okay, God, I ain't got it yet. You know, but he always supplies. Mm-hmm. Yes, he does. So now Naaman, what? He goes here and he's thinking of this. Why am I dipping? And you know, some of you are saying God has told you to do some things that just seem simple. All he told the man to do is what? Just go in the river, dip 7 times. That's it. Go into the river. He gave him specific instruction. Specifically, go to the River Jordan and dip 7 times, and you'll be made whole. What was hard about that? What is hard about what God has told you to do? Hey, just seek my face. Keep me first. And what? I'm going to add all these things unto you. That's all he asked you to do. All he asked you to do was serve no other God besides me. All he do is say, keep the, you know, the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Mm-hmm. All he asked you to do was follow his commandments. But yet we can't do that. So the third undiagnosed killer for us, we overcomplicate things. We overcomplicate things. The Bible said he uses the foolishness of preaching to reach the lost. We overcomplicate things. You know, I think it was the rapper Nas that said all he needed was one mic. Mm-hmm. Really, that's all you need. Because just the word, the empowerment of the word. Do you not know just the words out of people's mouth had changed the entire country? The word out of people's mouth had changed entire, started entire movements. It's the word. Because when the word becomes life and that word becomes activated, when it's activated, it becomes action. And action changes things. Do you not know? Let me prove it to you. I could say some things to you right now that would get some of you so upset. Mm-hmm. But you said words don't have any power. I mean, we used to as kids say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt me. So untrue, and we knew it. But you said it, why? Because you wanted the other people to feel like they didn't bother you. But when they called you ugly, that bothered you. When they called you slinky, that bothered you. When they called you fat brain, that bothered you. Yeah, I was picked on right much as a kid, you know, and I would say, well, you know what? I used to always tell myself it's going to be all right, you know, because one day God's going to make it right. And he has. And you know what? I don't boast in that. I help those same ones that come now, and you help them. Why? Because you understand you don't fight against flesh and blood, but principalities and spiritual wickedness. We're in high places. It wasn't them. They were doing that. They were maybe jealous of what I had, you know, the intellect God had blessed me with, some of the things that God was doing in my life. Even then, the others can see. Do y'all not know others can see you before you see yourself? Others already see where you're going before you know where you're going. Oh, come on, somebody. Others can see the greatness that God has put on you before you can see it. And some of them are what? They're jealous of that. They're not willing to pay the cost. Now, I'm not willing to pay the price. Because the truth of the matter is, you might see some bags in my eyes. Why? Because I didn't go to bed till like 3:30 this morning because I was trying to make sure that everything was straight here today. I know some of y'all probably saw it last night at 3 o'clock in the morning that I was out here doing some things. Why? Because there's a cost to be paid to do this work. And how much you're willing to pay for it is going to determine how well you do it. How much you're willing to pay for it is going to determine how well you do it. Some of you say, I want to be great in God. It's going to cost you something. It might be some nights you don't go to sleep really good. There may be some days that he got you over here looking. Some of you say, I want this on my job, but you don't want to put forth the work. I asked you last week, where's the work? This undiagnosed killer that's killing some of us is that we know that we overcomplicate it. It's simple. Just get the work done. It's simple. He said, but believe. It's not that complicated. Believe, but what about believe? But what about believe? Well, believe. I'm preaching myself. Come on, somebody. Believe. Right? Lord, I know it don't look, but believe. But it's a believe. Faith without works is what? Dead. I gotta believe. If anything, don't let anybody stop you from believing. If anything, don't let anybody stop you from believing. Because the Bible said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because faith is what? The very element of everything that we do. We must start in faith first. So stop overcomplicating it. Why? Because we find that Naaman had didn't have a whole lot of faith at this point. Why? Because he's questioning what the man of God has told him to do. He told him to go and get in that river. Now, what does Naaman do? At some point, Naaman listens, and they almost trick him through his pride to get him to do it. And now he said, okay, fine. And he go gets in the river. What does he do? He dunks seven times. And he on the seventh time, the Bible said that his skin was like that of a child. What about a child's skin? What is good about a child's skin? A child's skin is new. It's vibrant. It's flexible. It's elastic. It's young. It's tight. So as we get older, you know, gravity's been pulling on us. You know, I'm aging too. Mm-hmm. Hair gone and everything else. But, you know, it pulls on us. And things that used to be tight are not as tight no more. Things that used to sit up don't sit down no more. You know, my chest used to be big and barely, you know what I'm saying? But now I'm kind of, you know, I'm still strong. Don't come at me now. You know, I still got it. But, you know, not like I used to, though. Things change. Mm-hmm. So he goes in there and the Bible said, well, he's healed. Why does he heal? Because he walked by faith. Because everything around him said that what this was not going to happen. Now, I find it interesting that God has a specific way of doing things. Now, and let me fast forward this to 2020. We know now that they can heal leprosy. Leprosy can be treated. It's a bacterial infection. Okay. But what if God, in all his intimate wisdom, that same, like let's say, you know, antibiotics that we'll take now, penicillin or whatever the case may be, that we'll take now to take care of that. What if God already knew it was in that dirty water? What if your healing is in that dirty place that he told you to go? What if your healing was in that place that you did not want to go? What if that one element that was there to activate your faith? I don't know. You know, the Bible, you know, he's a leper. So that means his skin is all messed up and everything. But he gets in the water. What if that water, it was some kind of bacteria, another bacteria in there that killed that bacteria? They said the water was nasty. We already knew the water was dirty. We already knew it was a water. But see, God knows more than us. See, God already knows the plans that he already has for us. He tells us in Jeremiah that his plans are what? They have us for us to have good success. Mm-hmm. And all we got to do is what? Walk therein. Now I'm predestined in that way. I can make my choices. You make your choices. Life is about choices. And as I make the choices that I make, I have to trust God that he's going to direct my paths. He's going to open up my paths and he's going to lead me and guide me and put me where I need to be. That in due season that I'm going to do exactly what it is that he called me to do. I'll be the first to tell you all, my faith sometimes has got shaken. It's been shaken a lot sometimes. Sometimes I've been through some things and I've seen things, you know, at work and in the communities and all. It's like, Noah, why? Why this? Why me? But you said you want to be used. You throw your hand up and say, Lord, use me, Lord. Use me for your service. And as soon as he started using me, you said, Lord, but why is this happening? You say, but Lord, why you got to do it this way? We want to tell God how to bless us. We want to tell God how to do the work. We want to tell God of how we should go and how we should do it and how he should say it. This is what we want to do. But that's not what he called us to do. He said, what? Delight. Do what I ask you to do, and I'm obligated to do what I'm going to do. You do what I ask you to do, and I'm obligated to do what I tell you I'm going to do. So the question is simple today. You're walking around with some undiagnosed diseases inside of you. Some of you dealing with depression. Mm-hmm. He said, delight yourself. Some of you dealing with anxiety. He said, delight yourself. Some of you got hit illness in your body, and I'm telling you right now, you go right now. Go in your house, get your oil. Go in the house, get your anointing oil. If you're sick in your body right now, I'm telling you, as God's man in this hour, go get your oil, wherever it may be. Go get it and anoint yourself right now. I'm going to pray. I'm going to touch and agree with you from here in my home. I'm going to touch and agree with you that what you're going to be made whole wherever you are. You know, some of you have some mental sick. I ain't talking about like you crazy, but some of you been struggling. Some of you have some anxiety and you all caught up in this and you don't know about this and you don't know about that. Some of you worrying yourself literally to death. Been in that space. Have gone in that space sometimes. Fight to stay out of that space. Why? Because I'm a man and I want to be able to take care of my family and I want to be able to do this and I want to be able to do that. It just seems like it's not enough hours in the day to do all the things I need to do. And I find myself in this place of like, oh, I know it. And I'm here to tell you today that God has a plan. But we got to trust him. I got to trust him. You got to trust him. It's that undiagnosed killer that's inside of us, our pride. that keeps us sometimes. It's that undiagnosed killer inside of us. It's our disobedience sometimes. It's that undiagnosed killer inside of us that we want to overcomplicate everything. God said, do it, just do it. If he said, don't go, don't go. If he said, go, go. And just make sure it's him. Because if it's him, he's obligated to fulfill it. All he told Naaman to do, hey, Naaman, just go get in the river. Go get in the River Jordan and go dip. No, I don't need to touch you. I don't need to spit on you. None of this stuff. Just go do what I ask you to do. You're gonna be good. And this is what the Bible tells us continually over and over. He said, pray without ceasing. Do what I ask you to do, and you're going to be good. Do what I ask you to do, and you'll be good. Did you all get that medicine? I mean, did you all get that? Or I want to pray with you right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. I know some of you, wherever you may be, you've been going through some things in your house, and you're not sure, you know, well, Lord, we've had a tough time this year. And you're not the only one. That's a lot of people that's been having a tough time this year. You're not the only one. I know some people feel like it's only them. Well, a lot of people had a tough time this year, but I'm here to tell you today that God is grateful. That God is a jealous God, and he would have nobody before him. But I'm here to tell you today, as we touch and agree, if you would touch yourself, if you need to pray, pray for yourself right now. Put your hands on yourself, and I'm going to pray with you, and I'm going to touch and agree with you. I'm going to pray that the prayer of spirit and prayer of, you know, salvation, that God will fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Do you not know he can fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost exactly where you are, exactly there in your home, exactly there in your car, your bathroom, outside, walking around in the park, wherever you may be, or wherever you're catching this broadcast? You know, it's the Holy Ghost that destroys the yoke and set the captive free. I'm going to ask right now that God quicken you with that power as I pray, as you lay your hands on yourself. If you want to be saved, this is real simple. The instructions are real simple. Number one, repent. Ask God for forgiveness. Say, Lord, I've turned away from the sins that I've done. Those things that I've done that were contrary to your word. Repent. And then what? Be baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus. If you need to be baptized, here, contact us here at the church. We'll be more than glad to arrange something. If you're away, let's talk. You know, but I can do it right here. Amen. Just like he told him to go dump himself in the water seven times. Do you not know you can be baptized right at your home? Or you just follow the instructions? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know that's revolutionary to some people. That's different to somebody. But show me in the Bible where it said I had to be there. It's not there. Trust me, I've searched. I've looked the scriptures. But he said, what? Be ye baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Shall, meaning that way, it's a promise to you and as your children, your children's children, as many as far off as the Lord thy God shall call. So now, would you join me with me? You need the Holy Ghost. Why? It's that power that lives inside of you. And that baptism, you know, it seals the deal to say, hey, Lord, here I am. I've given myself up. And I walk, where I go down in that liquid grave and I come up as what? As a new creature. All old things are passed away. And I'm walking in the newness of life. Would you take that walk with me today? If you would, raise your hand with me. Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you right now. Lord, we just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done here on this day. Lord, I thank you for this word, Lord Jesus, that you've given on this day, Lord Jesus. You touch people right where they are. Lord, I ask that you bless them, Lord Jesus. Cut them right now from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord. If they be healing that needs to happen in their body, heal them right now, Lord Jesus, like only you can, Lord Jesus. Bless them, Lord, like only you can, Lord Jesus. Open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that they don't have room to receive, Lord Jesus. You said by your stripes that we were healed. Word be a passing, meaning it's done right now. Do it right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Those who are seeking the Holy Ghost, Lord, I ask that you fill them with the Holy Ghost right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. As they put their hand on their bosom, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that there be a transfer of power, Lord Jesus, that right now, Lord Jesus, they come forth speaking in tongues right now, Lord, as you give the utterance, Lord. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord, and we praise your name. We give your name the honor and all the glory, Lord Jesus. Wherever your people may be, Lord Jesus, Lord, here and there, there and everywhere, Lord Jesus, Lord. If they speak the word, oh God, this is their faith that's made them whole. Lord, it's that faith, Lord Jesus, to believe that you're Jehovah Jireh, that you are provider, you're Jehovah Nissi, that you're going to fight that battle. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we love you, Lord, and we praise your name. And we give your name all the honor and all the praise, the glory and the power, Lord, for it belongs to you and you alone. We ask you to do things to others in the powerful name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, hallelujah. I know God is working on somebody right now. He's working on somebody right now. Hallelujah. I'm just so grateful to him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Woo, thank you, thank you. Are y'all good, church? Amen, amen, hallelujah. You know, we don't go before the Lord with an empty hand as we go into our tithe and offering time. I know in biblical time they did it in different ways and they did different things, but here in this time we do it in the form of financial giving, amen, and this giving would go right to the church. I don't take anything. We just take it to buy equipment and do the things like you heard the blessings we're going to do and the face masks and things that you all got. This is where this stuff goes to. God has been good to me and just want to be a catalyst here in this space as we're just what? Stewards of that which he has given us. So I ask that on this day that you all bless us in tithe and offering. This has been a blessing to you on this morning. Come on.
To everyone who
made it. You got more than one way to give. So we have Cash App. Cash App is safehousechurchgso.com. Again, that's the safehousechurchgso. Or you can go to paypal.me/ministry aid. paypal.me/ministry aid. Hallelujah.
Tell me to feed your family. Look down underneath you. God is more than able. You can turn the table. Turn and tell your neighbor. Now it's time to turn the table.
Hey, all right. So I gave you an opportunity to be able to bless us in tithe and offering. Here we are a tithe giving church, and we do believe in blessing God with offerings. And yes, I'm a pastor. I do tithe. Amen. Amen. You know, this church got started off that tithe. Amen. So I'm just so grateful to you all for being here with us on this day. I hope that you found this to be a blessing. And I ask that you come back on next week to be right back here with us. For God is good and he's worthy to be praised. And I don't know about you all, but we just a church of people who just believe. If you give an opportunity, hey, anytime in the week, send me an inbox, drop me an email. Just let us know that you've been thinking about us. And we definitely been thinking about you. We can be located here at the church at 336-501-7552. Again, our number is 336-501-7552. We're here to be a blessing to you and a blessing to this community. God bless you all. Love you all. And remember this one thing, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you all. I love you all. And we'll see you all on Wednesday night here at the same time, same place. But we'll be here at 7 p.m. for our Bible study as we continue in the book of Ephesians. And we try to finish through at that time. God bless you all. I love you all. Also, happy birthday to Sister Lee. I'm not going to tell her age, but y'all know she's my sister. So I hope she's celebrating her birthday, that she's enjoying that time with her and her husband. And God is good and we're worthy to be praised. God bless you all. I love you all. Y'all take care and have a wonderful day. Spend some time with your family.
And God is not real, but the whole world.
We off the air. Taylor, you can unmute yourself. Let me turn this down. Hold on. Give me a second. Yes, ma'am. You can talk to us. It's just those in the Zoom here with us. So.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to share some news. I've been neglecting to share it. Earlier this year, me and Jared, we did get married.
Okay.
And I am now expecting, and the baby is expected to be here in May of next year.
Congratulations.
I will share that.
So do we get to see the mommy face? Yeah.
Sorry. I was watching her here, so.
It's okay. We know. Oh, you went away. See, by the time I pinned you so I could actually see you, you went away. So, but anyway, but congratulations. And oh, yes, you're filling out nicely. Look at that mommy glow. We're so happy for you.
Yeah.
I want to tell the Jordans then. Jordans, remember y'all asked me about the baby crib, and this is who I had in mind. So that crib that you all had that y'all wanted to give away, I was reserving it for Sister Taylor. So congratulations, Taylor. We still don't know what you're having yet, right?
No, I have the gender reveal. I also wanted to invite you guys to the gender reveal. That's going to be on Christmas Eve because I find out on the 22nd.
Okay. Do you know what you're trying to do?
I'm doing a Zoom call. I'm setting up everything now. I'm going to send out invitations through the email. And so if you guys are interested, I can take your emails and send it to you.
Absolutely. If you will, y'all, you can put them in the chat right now. She can probably get them from right there. So I dropped mine in there right now. All right, definitely. I'm happy for you all. You know, whatever we can do in this space, you all are married now. So now y'all part of that married ministry. Amen. And you know, marriage is a good thing. You know, it's work. It's definitely some work.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a good thing. And now you come with a child here in May. So I don't know what it is about our church with May, the May babies, because Sister Paris and them, you know, their baby was in May too, which I ain't got a chance to bite them little fat cheeks yet. So cool. We're so happy for you and Jared. And tell Mr. Jared we need to see him, you know, we'll at least see his face or slap his head or whatever the case may be. And did you get your face mask and stuff?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, cool. All right. Anybody else got anything else to say? Y'all can unmute yourself. It's just us. Everybody else is off. Nobody. Okay. I know the Jordans are there, but maybe they ain't hearing me.
Congratulations, Taylor, to you and Jared.
Thank you.
I don't know. For some reason, I'm feeling a girl. I don't know why, but I ain't trying to be like I'm prophesying or anything, but I'm just feeling girl. That's just me, though. That ain't God. I ain't putting on God now. All right. Well, you all take care. If there's anything we can do, you'll let us know. All right. Y'all have a good one. Hey, is that Mr. Sean? What's going on, bud?
Sean, sorry.
No, he's fine. It's just us. It's just the church family. What's going on, buddy? You sound like he said, hey, Taylor. I hear you, buddy. I had to bring Preston over there to play with you. All right, well, we'll get on off. All right, I love you all. Y'all take care, and we'll be seeing you.
Bye-bye. Have a good one.
All right, do the same. Bye-bye. Thank you.